Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today, as Franciscans, we celebrate the feast of the only material object on this earth outside of the Blessed Sacrament for which St. Francis showed a jealous attachment. Typically, in the spiritual life, we say that attachments to property and material goods are a hindrance to our union with God. With St. Francis, however, life is turned upside down. His own attachment to the little church of the Portiuncolo was actually sanctifying, and it brought down many blessings upon him and upon the order that he founded and upon all those who visited and still visit that little rustic temple in the Valley of Assisi dedicated to Our Lady of the Angels. So we've all heard of the city of Los Angeles, California. The official name of the city in Spanish is El Pueblo de la Iglesia de Nuestra Señora la Reina de los Ángeles sobre la Portiuncola de Assis. In English, LA is called the City of the Church of Our Lady of the Angels of the Portiuncola of Assisi. That's actually the full name of the city of Los Angeles. The city was founded by Franciscans, as was much of the state of California. Hermits from Palestine had built that little chapel in the Valley of Assisi in the first centuries after Christ. It was eventually given to Saint Benedict in the 6th century, along with a small plot of land that surrounds it. It's said that the name Portiuncola, which in Italian means little portion, derives from that transfer of property to Saint Benedict. After Saint Francis's conversion, we know that the Lord told him, "Francis, rebuild my church, for as you can see, it is falling into ruins." St. Francis, at the beginning of his conversion, took everything literally, didn't quite understand how to interpret these types of messages in the way that our Lord intended them. So when he heard our Lord say those words, he thought God wanted him to physically rebuild churches, and that's what he started doing. One of those churches or chapels was St. Mary's of the Angels, which was dilapidated and was falling apart by the beginning of the 13th century. What can we say about Our Lady, which ties into today's feast? Well, the Virgin is Queen of the Universe, therefore she's Queen of the Angels as well. The theological reason for her universal queenship is her absolute predestination with Christ. Alongside him as the new Eve, alongside the new Adam, the two of them being the center and the apex of the works of God on extra, the works of God outside of himself. The entire spiritual and material universe was conceived as the great kingdom of Christ and of Mary, of Christ the King, of Mary the Queen. In this kingdom, the angels were called to be the adorers of the King, the God-man, and the servers of their Queen Mother. The sanctifying grace with which the angels were created was given to them in view of the merits of Christ the Mediator and Mary the Mediatrix. According to the opinion of many Franciscan theologians, the test to which all the angels had to submit was to accept this adoration of the God-man, Jesus Christ, and to accept obedience to Mary. It required their humble submission to a man and to a woman who, inferior by nature, were predestined to be their superiors by grace. Even the angels themselves were destined to receive grace upon grace from the hypostatic union, referring to Jesus Christ, and from the divine maternity, referring to Mary, as the beloved apostle notes in John 1:16. Some angels, however, refused to submit, preferring pride to humble obedience. In this way, Lucifer dragged with him out of heaven a third of the angels who, in a miserable chorus, all embraced his sin. But the good angels, as we know, remained. They remained to worship their King and to serve their Queen. Even in the Gospels, we see a number of angels present in the early lives of Jesus and Mary. The Archangel Gabriel, as we heard, brought the Annunciation of the Messiah to Mary. who herself seemed to demonstrate a great familiarity with angelic creatures, being disturbed not by the angel's presence, but by his words, by his singularly honorific salutation when he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you," Luke 1:28. Mary responded to him promptly and with surety. And again, an angel advised Saint Joseph not to fear to take Mary as his wife, acting as Mary's advocate in order to dissipate every doubt from the just foster father of the Lord. And hosts of angels were present as well at Bethlehem on the night of our Savior's birth. According to the Franciscan Venerable Mary of Agreda, Our Lady typically had 1,000 guardian angels by her side. And during the flight to Egypt, that number swelled to 10,000. Such an enormous deployment of angelic forces was due to the singular, extraordinary mission of the Virgin Mary, who needed to be adequately defended from the envy and the hatred of the devil, who attempted to cut short her life and the life of her child with all his diabolic forces. Saint Francis, on his part, had a great devotion to the Queen of Angels, and it's seen in the fact that he founded the Order of the Friars Minor in that little chapel that we commemorate today. He loved that place more than any other place on the whole earth, because there he frequently enjoyed visitations from the angels themselves. And he told the friars regarding the Portiuncula, he said to them, "If they kick you out of the door of that place," he said, "go back in through the window." That's what he would famously tell his friars. That's how jealous he was for that little insignificant chapel. And it's not by chance that the order of Friars Minor, the Franciscan order, is called the Seraphic Order, meaning the angelic order, and that Saint Francis is the seraphic father of the Franciscans because of his love for God and the Immaculate, which burned with such an intensity that it was akin to the highest of the choirs of angels, the seraphim angels. The order which was born at Our Lady of the Angels has to be, and then has to continue to be, both completely Marian and completely angelic at the same time. Our Lady designated this chapel, the Portiuncula, as the cradle of the Franciscan order, and in it, many extraordinary favors were given to our Holy Father, Saint Francis. Once a special impulse led him at night to go into the chapel, and inside he saw our Lord and Our Lady surrounded by many angels. Francis prostrated himself to the ground, and he heard our Lord ask him with a tender voice to ask some special favor. After a few moments of reflection, Saint Francis asked for the grace of a full pardon for all those who, being contrite and having confessed their sins, would visit this little sanctuary. And in that moment, Our Lady, reminiscent of the miracle at the wedding feast of Cana, she turned to her divine Son, she cast herself at his feet and repeated Francis's request to Jesus. Jesus said to Saint Francis, "It's a great favor that you request. Nevertheless, it shall be granted to you. Go to my vicar on earth, to whom I have given the power to bind and to loose, and ask him in my name to grant this indulgence," Jesus said. So Saint Francis presented himself to Pope Honorius III, who granted his request, but said that the plenary indulgence, which is essentially what Saint Francis was asking for, the plenary indulgence could only be granted on one day of the year, August 2nd, which was the anniversary of the dedication of that little church. In recent times, the indulgence has been extended from midday August 1st, through August 2nd, and it's been extended to those who visit and pray in any Franciscan church, or actually even in any parish church as well. In order to gain the indulgence, you need to go to confession within the next 8 days or have gone to confession within the last 8 days. You have to participate at Holy Mass and receive Holy Communion and also be free of all attachment to sin, even venial sin. You also have to recite an Apostles' Creed, then the Our Father, and another prayer, like the Hail Mary, for example, for the intentions of the Holy Father to gain the plenary indulgence of the Portiuncula. So let's ask Our Lady today for the grace to love her with the heart of our Seraphic Father, St. Francis, and to, at least in a small way, continue his completely Marian and completely angelic form of life. Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.